This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's Kevin Willard, Maryland basketball coach for now, it seems. Hey, look, it's been in the wind for about a week that Kevin Willard, family discussion, talks to his agent, representation, whatever it is. He's going to Villanova. I'm not Columbo. By the way, it's Vinny at 81.057. The Fan. Vinny's off. We're ripping it with Ryan for the next 4 hours. It's Featured Artist Friday, too. Hopefully you enjoy the band.
Yeah, you're darn right I'm enjoying the band. Bob, we're back. The band's together.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Happy Friday.
Yeah, man, you too. Nolan, of course, on the other side of the glass. Going to Villanova. Villanova hasn't hired a coach. Mm. That's a, would you call Villanova blue blood? I'm leaning in that direction for sure.
With you.
They haven't been in the tournament 3 years. You would figure, I know Richard Pitino was linked to them. He wound up going to Xavier. They haven't hired a coach. Neptune's been out for 2 weeks. So you would figure a team with that status, I'm sure Jay Wright's still got tons of cachet throughout the basketball world. They've seen UConn, Marquette, St. John's this year, kind of pass them in the pecking order of the Big East. My point is, I guess, Ryan, they'd have had a coach by now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Villanova was the last Power 5 school without a coach, right? If I'm not mistaken, right? So you're sitting there. Are you really going to wait that long if you didn't have Kevin Willard waiting in the wings? Now, obviously, could things be a change of heart? But let's even look back. Did you see the clips, Bob, of
getting booed at the...
Well, not even that. Kevin Willard, when he was at Seton Hall, the same situation. I'm going to talk to my agent. Have no idea what's going on.
Oh, I did not see that.
Maybe, you know what? I got to show you that right after, because that was when I was driving in here. And I sat there and I go, it's coach speak. You know, we've seen it. It's athletes do this all the time. We've heard it even after. I don't know what my future is. They have an indication. They have an idea. But I think the one thing that I was hoping wouldn't happen is that Maryland's back in the Sweet 16. It's a massive game. Great first half, entertaining, and yet a great season is kind of washed away with this type of feeling of Maryland's going to have to restart. Bob, that's kind of what it feels like to me. They're going to have to restart this process after such a promising year.
No doubt. And you figured you had momentum building with the program. Mm-hmm. I mean, the portal, Ryan, as you know, is going to be a very prominent part of what, even if Willard stays, what Buzz Williams, oops, apparently the leader in the clubhouse for that, or whoever it is. Buzz, of course, Texas A&M, been to tournaments and took, hey, they were a four seed themselves this year. Mm-hmm. Lost to a Michigan in the second round, whoever it might be. But you mentioned the starting over thing. You look at the roster now. We heard Derek Queen, to your point, about, well, we got an idea of what's up. So I'm going to talk to my mom, talk to my, his agency, Coach Willard. He knows what he's doing. He's gone up. Stan Van Gundy during the 38 of the 40 minutes of the game last night. Oh, he's going to be a top 10. Then he's putting the ball on the floor. He's banging threes, dunking. I mean, he don't have like that kind of crazy athleticism, but he get to the hoop. He's as good as gone, but he played the game.
Yeah.
Said, I'll wait to see what's going on here. And it's the way that it is. But with Kevin Willard, was his nose going, Pinocchio in as he was saying all of these things? He hasn't spoken to his agent?
Again, Bob, I wish in some cases, because, hey, I'd be lying to you if I haven't heard that or seen that before. Heck, I've been with former teammates, in professional sports and baseball, where they are going to say one thing. It's the politically correct answer. I don't know what's going on. Well, I can guarantee you other people know. And even last year, go back to the whole Corbin Burns situation, right? Going back there, he might have said, hey, I got to see what's going to happen. A lot of people had an inclination, if you talked outside of the media space, of where Corbin was leaning. It's the same thing here with Kevin Willard. Now, the one thing, though, Bob, if he were to stay at Maryland and he made all these comments out loud to try to enhance the program and make a change, then this all seems right, right? You're putting yourself out there. Maryland's got national attention. You're trying to bring more to it. But if it's going the way that we think it's going to go,
mm-hmm.
You turned a moment that was so passionate, and I talked to Grievous Vasquez, Maryland legend,
sure.
About this.
Second all-time leading scorer at University.
And Grievous, sorry, he said, he goes, Maryland just has so much passion, and people, even when it's down, they love this school, they love this team. And right now, you feel more hurt about what's happening now than even the tough loss to Florida.
Yep. Nolan, get in here for a second. If Willard leaves, and that's like the 99.99999% perception, we'll talk to Keith Cavanaugh, Terrible Times, next hour. Now, I don't know if you heard this yesterday, Ryan, but Willard leaves, which he's expected to do. 3-year run, two tournaments in three, Sweet 16, first time since 2016. How will you remember Kevin Willard as he's moseying up 2 hours to Philadelphia here?
If he leaves?
Yeah.
He's forgotten. He's already gone. He's dead to us. What do you want? I mean, the guy spent 3 years here. That's a cup of coffee. I mean, sure, you got him back in the Sweet 16. They had a great starting five. Put a lot of stock in what the players did this year. Rather talk about their accomplishments than some fraud of a coach.
So tell us how you really feel.
So one more thing.
Yeah, get him.
All this stuff about giving the safe answer, there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, no one would actually bat an eye if he chose to do that last week, mm-hmm. before Grand Canyon. If you gave the safe answer, if you didn't, you created this. You brought this on yourself. You spoke on it because it was convenient to you to try to leverage more money and line your pockets. All this stuff about the university needs more, the basketball program needs more, it was all BS. What he's saying is true, but he doesn't care about the school. He never cared about the school. It was all to get more money for himself.
Yeah, and he knew Damon was out the door.
Yep.
So he had that in leverage. His back pocket that he could throw out there to the media. And, of course, next day, Damon Evans went to SMU, but Kevin Willard got booed as they were leaving the hotel to go to the arena in San Francisco. He was getting booed. And I didn't know about the Seton Hall
it's
thing.
Almost identical. Right after
I actually
saw that?
Screwed up. The comment we heard coming in was actually mislabeled. That was his comments from Seton Hall.
Oh! So,
how about that? It's identical, though.
Yeah.
It was almost verbatim to what he said when he was leaving Seton Hall to come to Maryland.
Oh, so then we've got the one from last night, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah, let me grab that.
Yeah,
grab
but that. Either way, the game itself, let's get back to that. Season ends 87-71. Terps get out-rebounded massively. And Ryan, I was saying on the show yesterday, whether they prevent the fast break, Maryland can shoot threes. Florida, not the greatest free-throw shooting team, even though they're pretty solid last night. It doesn't matter. And apparently Willard said the same thing to Stan Van Gundy and Dan Bonner. We don't rebound. This is all moot. Colorado State killed them on the offensive glass, didn't make them pay.
Yeah.
Florida made them pay. There was a point in the game where they had more offensive rebounds than Maryland had total rebounds. And they were one of the better rebounding teams in the Big Ten all season long. But since the tournaments, Big Ten, obviously NCAA started, they've been one of the worst teams, and it doomed them last night.
It certainly did. I mean, also, the Gators are pretty damn good. Yeah. I mean, and they're deep, right? So this is a team that will continue to find different ways. I mean, last night, five different guys in double-digit scoring. They just kind of wore them down. It kind of felt like with Maryland, and this is maybe the MO for the season, right? You felt like the talent that Maryland has on the court. And when they get hot and they can shoot it, you feel like they could beat anybody. First half was a great example of that. You're in, despite the issues, despite being out-rebounded, despite maybe not feeling great that you're playing or you're the quote-unquote better team, you felt like they can go toe-to-toe. But it's those little things. I like to say that because of baseball, basketball. It's the little things. 50-50 balls, rebounds, second-chance points, you name it. Florida in the second half did that, and it just, maybe it was with all this going on, it just took the heart and soul out of the Terps in the second half.
Even though they were down two at halftime, Maryland, 40-38, they got trounced in the second half. I was talking to my wife, not to bring my wife into this, because she was a she went to BYU for a year, sort of like my Calvert Hall. Yep. We're one and done. Derek Queen one and done. You got to leave. But anyway, so BYU's getting housed by Alabama, who hit like, 40,000 threes last night, whatever it is. So the Terps are down two. She goes, hey, we're only down two? That's good. I was like, look, their second best players missed the entire first half with the exception of a couple minutes. They've turned the ball over more in the first half than they have on average for the season, and they're still winning. I think we're in big trouble. Unless Maryland would have went on a run in the second half, and obviously as we all watch the game or listen to it here on 105.7 The Fan, the exact opposite happened.
Yeah.
Then they just started getting beaten down there. And you could tell Queen with like 8 minutes left, I'm doing it. Just get over, Miguel, you and your donut, get over there. Gillespie, your four fouls. Roddy Rice with your line drive jumper. It's me. Enough of this.
I'm just going to take it over, but you're right. I mean, Florida just in almost every category, except that is the funny thing. When you turn the ball over more, you think that you're going to lose, but Florida shot the ball even better from behind the arc. And yeah, when you double an opponent in rebounds, it's not a recipe for success. And yeah, Maryland hung around, right? Sure. They did. And maybe that's also a microcosm for the season as well, where I'm glad they got the buzzer beater, and it was a huge relief last game against Colorado State, right? Because it was here we go again. But it was always when they had that big opponent, when you had to then elevate your game, Maryland always just kind of felt a little bit short. And Florida here, when you're looking about where Maryland still needs to get to, and look, I think Maryland, this was, it reminded you, yeah, you're close.
Sure.
There's teams like Florida that are out there that you're going to have to play your best ball when you get deeper into the tournament. And all across the board for Maryland, they just didn't really show up when they needed to, especially looking to go to the Elite Eight.
Featured Artist Friday, that reveal coming up when we come back. We're ripping it with Ryan on this Friday. Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken, Nolan McGraw. Oh, by the way, the Orioles started their season yesterday with a bang. We'll get into that. But Kevin Willard leaves. How will you remember this three-year era? Nolan just said he's not going to remember it at all.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Featured Artist Friday. It's Beastie Boys. Radioactive? Is that what it's called?
Intergalactic. Close enough.
It's right there. Yeah, it's on the tip of your tongue. Almost got it, Bob.
I know there was robots involved.
Yeah.
But way back when. So anything you want to hear from them, Rock and Roll Hall of Famers, pick a song. We'll play it. Send a request. Plaza for text line 410-583-1057. Bob Haney, we're ripping it with Ryan Ripken here on this Friday. 6 homers, opening day record for the Orioles. 2 from Sed, 2 from Adley, O'Neill, and Westy. We'll go Westy with that one. Handling their business and handling it in a big way. But if you looked at, and I'm sure you have, Adley's opening day career stats, I mean, bottle that thing up and keep it going for 6 months. Then he's Babe Ruth and Ohtani combined.
He might be that, and then throw in Barry Bonds there in those years where he might have been a little bit juiced up, you know, where you get one pitch a game. That's what it felt like for Adley. It was one mistake pitch, and it's gone. And I mean, I remember what it was in Boston a few years ago. He had 4 or 5 hits.
5, yeah.
Jeez. Whatever Adley's doing and whatever you saw yesterday, I'm buying that stock, though, Bob. I'm not saying he's going to do that for 2 home runs a game, but that's the Adley Rutschman that I saw a couple years ago. That's the Adley Rutschman when seeing him in spring training that looked like he was back on track. And look, let's make no mistake about this Orioles team and this Orioles lineup. I know on social media, not everyone has the most positive thoughts to say about the Orioles.
You think?
And it's one game. Well, you know, I was told that this team's got no shot. But when I looked at this, and Bob, I'm curious in your mind here, going into a season, has the American League ever been as wide open as it actually is? When you can sit here and go, hey, who is actually the American League favorite? I'd be curious what Nolan thinks right now, but it's not just the American League. Let's simplify to the AL East. The Baltimore Orioles are in a wide open division, facing a division rival on the road, and the fact is, we saw with this lineup, might be one of the deepest positional rankings in all of baseball that I think we had to get reminded of on game one of 162.
We were talking about this very subject yesterday. No one's winning 100 games, we don't think, in the American League. And you'd be better off maybe crossing off teams that can't get to the playoffs. Chicago, even though they won yesterday, behind the kid from Maryland, by the way. The A's, I guess. I don't really know. But outside, who are the teams that can't compete this
year? Like the Central's just completely, the White Sox.
So that's exactly there. Yeah. And the odds, you know, if you want to get frisky here, the White Sox were plus 10,000 to win the division, Nolan. So if you're feeling it.
A little cash out action.
Hey, a little cash out action.
But they start 4-0 or something.
Yeah, but Vegas is looking at that too, where it really is wide open, you know, when you actually look at it. So for Baltimore here, even though we know you don't have Gunnar Henderson to start the year, Grayson Rodriguez is on the shelf, this Orioles team, they have these young guys. Now, we wanted to see how guys would start the year. We wanted to see how maybe some veterans. How about my guy, Cedi Mullins, Bob, getting going? And later on, I want to dive into the pitching aspect here, like Zach Eflin, because I got to talk with Ben McDonald, Orioles broadcaster, former Baltimore Oriole, because I think there's a good topic to be had there. But when you're looking at best-case scenario and you're trying to make a statement of all the games yesterday, going on the road against a division rival and putting up a 12 spot, you could not ask for a better start here, especially for the Orioles having actually for the first 2 weeks. It's going to be a pretty rough stretch.
Yeah, and you got length from the Eflin, but you didn't get a big pitch count either. He was under 80 pitches when Hyde pulled him. I got to be honest with you, Dominguez looks a little shaky. Of course, he wasn't all that great down in spring training either, but I picked the Orioles to win the American League. Maybe the orange Kool-Aid was flowing. I don't really know, but to your point, Nolan, we've talked about it earlier in the week with lots of baseball writers. Nobody's winning 100 games. Yankees' rotation's decimated. Red Sox appear to be kind of the trendy, maybe. Who was the dude we had on yesterday from Toronto? Jeff Blair thinks Boston's going to run away with the division. Hell no. That's not happening, but Orioles' chances are just as good as anybody else. And Grayson could be gone for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Gunnar will be back probably the next road trip.
Yeah, I think as soon as the IL's done.
And he's rehabbing in Norfolk today, right?
Oh, he'll be ready to go. This is, for everyone out there of the worry, the only time you're 100% here, Nolan, is when you get to spring training that first day. And every day, little by little, even though it's spring training, you're sitting there going, the percentage is dropping a little by little. So for Gunnar, you want him to be as close to 100 as he can, because once he steps back and plays in Baltimore or on the road, wherever it is, he's got to start to be beaten up day after day. It's precaution. Nolan, were you nervous?
What, yesterday?
No. Were you nervous about Gunner? Are you okay?
No.
Oh, okay, then great.
The only thing that we made it, I don't want to speak for Nolan, why Holiday? Couldn't you get through a week at shortstop?
It's a good question.
Like, all right, you can get through with Westy. Again, we'll be
turned a couple double plays yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, the hose looked pretty good from shortstop. I mean, if Gunner's coming back, if you're worried, Mike Elias even said it, hopefully it doesn't stun his growth, then why are you moving him at all if Gunner's going to be back by the Kansas City series?
But you know what they love? They love their versatility. They love that their guys can play multiple positions, and Jackson Holiday was drafted as a shortstop. So, but I'm with you, and we can talk later on about this.
Oh, hell yeah.
I want Jackson, though, to get as comfortable playing second base, and I want to just him get comfortable at the plate, because at the end of the day, the hitting component for Jackson is going to be the key to all this as he continues to figure out how to be a big leaguer.
Orioles tonight taking on Toronto, 7:07, Rogers Center. Former Oriole Kevin Gausman on the hill for the Blue Jays. Charlie Morton makes his Birds debut. We'll be talking about that throughout the course of the show. You want to talk about the Orioles, the outburst yesterday, your anticipation for the 25 season. And Kevin Willard looks like he's out the door. Do you have a problem with that? Because as Maryland was getting trounced last night on social media, I was reading a lot of people saying, well, he sucked anyway. So good riddance. Top of the hour up there in Canada. I didn't know what Tim Hortons was. Saw Tyler O'Neill walking around with a box of donuts, apparently. Because he's from Canada, correct? North of the border?
Yeah, I had no idea. Is that a staple up there, though?
We were watching the game, me and my cousin Al.
That's like their Dunkin'.
Ah.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so. Hey, I mean, they probably have Dunkin' up there, too, but that's their preferred spot, I guess.
Yeah, the two boxes. I'm like, the hell's Tim Hortons? And nobody knew, and of course I was too lazy to Google.
It's the king to massive biceps, Bob. You start eating a couple packs of those donuts, man. You and Tyler O'Neill are going to look identical.
Yeah.
Tyler, and Nolan McGraw.
A lot of work to do here.
Yeah. Both of my arms together probably wouldn't equal one of his.
You know his nickname.
But I like donuts, though.
Nickname Captain Biceps.
Oh.
That's what I heard the nickname around the clubhouse, Captain Biceps.
Well, that's going to be our next featured artist Friday, by the way. Captain Biceps out of Toronto, if I'm not mistaken. All right, let's get out to the phones. Terp season's over. Kevin Willard's career in Maryland looks to be the same as he's going to go to Villanova. Buzz Williams is the buzz, Texas A&M coach. Remember, he was at Marquette, Virginia Tech. He's been to the – you look at his NCAA tournament resume – annihilates Kevin Willard, so I'm not trying to crap on old Willard as he's out the door, apparently. Nolan will, and if you want to, you can at 410-583-1057. But the Orioles get off to a fast start, and the old Bobsters picked for team MVP hit two home runs. Adley Rutschman. But Cedric, hey, walkier of a deal? He had from June, July of 23 through the first half of last year, his average in power production was pretty debatable. But he cooked in the second half with best player in the playoffs the two games. Sed's got that he's got that all-star vibe. And if he's what he's been, oh, man, how much more dangerous could this lineup be?
Yeah, Bob, I got to tell you real quickly, people got to stop sleeping on Cedric Mullins. Even on his downtime, I don't think people realize how good he is and how much he does for a team. We look at the numbers. Yeah, you're right. Oh, Ceddie, you're only hitting 240 or 230. When you go into a locker room and you ask the pitchers, who do they want in center field? They want Cedric Mullins. Who's a guy that you know is going to post up, show up, good or bad? It's Cedric Mullins. And I will talk about it later in the hour. He got through some personal things, and I'm buying that we're going to see a Seti closer to 2021 when he was an all-star than we have seen the last couple of years, injury-riddled and all.
Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw, we're ripping it with Ryan Ripken. Orioles are 1-0, Terps are done. So that's what it is. But there are other exciting Sweet 16 games last night, including an overtime thriller. Duke and Alabama looks to be probably an NBA-level score thing coming up tomorrow, but we'll get into that. But let's go to Jimmy in Silver Spring. Jimmy, thanks for holding. What's happening?
Hey, man, thanks for having me. Good to hear your voice, Ryan. I'm going to get to you in a minute. Real quick, my mother always taught me it's not what you do, it's how you do it. I don't blame Kevin Willard for wanting what he considers a better job, making more money, NIL. That's his prerogative. Shit, if somebody offered me more money, I'd leave my job. My biggest problem on last night's game is that He didn't have his guards rebounding. He had Queen and Reese down there with no help. They were getting smashed on the boards. They've been smashed on the boards the last four games. What strategy did he have? Why did he sell out? They were getting run up and down. They were getting transition baskets against them anyway. Why not sell out and send four or five guys to the boards, at least to try to shore that up?
And he even said real quick, Jimmy, he said at his press conference before the game, we're going to have to play. They're talking about Queen and Reese. They're not going to be able to play 36, 38 minutes. We're going to have to come out with some other bigs. Well, it's not like their bench is loaded. It's Geronimo and Gapari. Gapari didn't even get in till garbage time. And Nolan and I, Ryan, were talking before the show. Hey, Gapari, is he Buck Williams? No. But he's the best leaper on the team, at least deflect a ball. Because, Jimmy, as you said, their guards, Florida's, they were getting all the hustle plays, as you said earlier. So that, where were these so-called bigs off the bench?
Well, even if you can only play two bigs at a time, but why don't you have your guards, instead of playing above the three or running back on defense, have them crash the boards. Make Florida switch up their game. Real quick, Ryan, I love you, man. You're the most optimistic Orioles fan I know. No matter what's going on, you're very optimistic. I'm in the tank for Ryan Mountcastle. I love that guy. I want him to hit 35, 40 home runs this year. So I want you to talk about him and what you think he can do. And also, what is your I also like Ramon Urias. Mm-hmm. Last year, he didn't get too much playing time, but in the second half, he was one of our hottest hitters, and I still think he's our best defensive third baseman. I'll listen to your comments off air. Love the show.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Appreciate it, Jimmy. I mean, yeah, we'll start with my guy, Mountie. You know, it's funny, opening day was yesterday, and I went back to my opening day in Hagerstown, Maryland, when I played for the Suns, Nationals affiliate. And we were playing the Delmarva Shorebirds, the Orioles affiliate. And who was on that team for Delmarva? Cedric Mullins and Ryan Mountcastle. In the snow, we just got beat, kind of like yesterday for the Orioles beating the Jays. I think we lost. It might have been like 15-3. It was brutal. Ryan Mountcastle hit a grand slam in the snow at a pitch at his eyes. And I went, who the heck is this dude swinging at? I don't know what it is. And it's a grand slam. And then I got to see and watch him more closely. And as I got to see Mountie from being on the opposing side to them being in the same organization with them, before all these other guys came in, Jimmy, Ryan Mountcastle was the best hitting prospect that I had seen. He was the best pure hitter I had seen. And the only thing I think that's going to stop him is if he's not healthy. So Ryan Mountcastle, to me, wall moved in, get past the vertigo, stay on the field, 25 to 30 is his floor, in my opinion. And Ramon Urias, he's the guy that you can't underestimate, Bob. And we talked about this last year on BBT.
Sure.
What makes Ramon great is he knows he's not going to play every day, but when you need him, he'll get in there. That's a really hard job to do. And look, I want to see Ramon get more at-bats, but Westberg needs to play. I want Jackson to get some run, but this is why you keep a guy like Ramon Urias, that he's like a security blanket, and you can count on him to get in situations when you feel like your team's in a funk.
Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw, we're ripping it with Ryan Ripken here on this Friday. Featured artist Pride, it's the Beastie Boys, Orioles 1-0, clobbering Toronto, game two tonight, 7:07. We'll be talking about that, obviously, throughout the course of the show. Maryland's basketball season is over. Women taking on South Carolina, 5:00. It's 17.5-point dogs, so that would be pretty colossal upset to
tell me there's a chance, Bob. Tell me there's a chance.
Lloyd Christmas, 1 in a million. There's a chance. Less than 24 hours ago, about what he's doing with the University of Maryland. There's an offer sheet on the table, which he's obviously not signed. Disarray in the athletic department for the Terps as Damon Evans has moved on. But eerily, I didn't know until you mentioned that, and then Nolan played it, that 3 years ago, almost verbatim, the same thing. We all know what happened at Seton Hall. He left. And by the way, they've kind of cratered since he has, with all due respect to Shaheen Holloway. But I don't know. I'm not Columbo. I don't smoke cigars. He's gone, though. By all, pretty much, Sun's reporting he's already told that the Maryland's already looking for a new coach, which apparently they found. Just got to cross the T's and dot the I's on that one. But, boy, what a bleep show at the worst possible time.
You know, I was thinking about this. You know, the phrase is always, you know, actions speak louder than words, except when words seem to kind of repeat themselves. So, you know, maybe your words are your actions here. And look, I love, you know me, Bob. I love to try to give the benefit of the doubt. I really do.
You're a very optimistic person.
I am. I try to, because I was in a sport where I was failing all the time, Bob. You should have seen me in a locker room not having a hit for 3 weeks. And then maybe with some tequila, then we can really talk about it. I digress. But for this moment, you can just sense it. I think that's the part. You feel that we've seen this before. And that's what we're holding on to. And just everything seems like the writing's on the wall, literally. And then there's this team over there 2 hours away in Philadelphia that still has that vacant spot, that loves their basketball, that there's obvious interest. And it just looks like that's where the roads are heading.
If Buzz Williams is the guy, and we'll talk to Keith Cavanaugh at 11:30, TerrapinTimes.com. And Ryan, we'll start with you since we're ripping it with Ryan. Are you cool with this hire?
Yeah.
The SEC, he's been in the ACC, he's been in the Big East. I mean, he had Marquette in the Elite Eight. He had one team. He was with Jimmy Buckets, for crying out loud, at Marquette. So, Buzz Williams, they were a 4 seed this year at A&M, and Michigan kind of got on him in the round of 32.
He's one where he's gone.
Oh,
you know?
No doubt.
And he has been consistent. And, you know, also, if you're coming to Maryland, look, I know – I love when coaches get their opportunity. You want to find the next great coach, or hey, you're hoping you're going to find the next Gary Williams here in these parts of Maryland. But you know what helps? Having a guy that has been from place to place and you've seen success. I think that's what Maryland kind of needs since Gary Williams. I talked to Gravis Vasquez about that as well. And I said, how much did that matter to you that there was a stable force when you were here? Games changed, obviously. Coaches can go, players can go. He said it meant a lot, and it felt like we were building something. Where Buzz goes, at least, it's the closest thing. They build something wherever he goes. So I think I'd be happy with the hire. What about you?
I'm cool with it. At Marquette, 3 Sweet 16s, an Elite Eight. Took Virginia Tech to the Sweet 16. Not that's not a normal occurrence, by the way, with all due respect to the Hokies. And he's taken NC State, Texas A&M to three straight NCAA tournaments, including this year. So the track record of success is there, Nolan. So he might not wear a suit like Kevin Willard did, which you were impressed with. He might be more of the sweatpants thingy. But Buzz Williams, you look at the track record, kind of exceeds Willard's if you think about it. Similar in age, too, by the way.
Right, and I think at this point in the game, I mean, you're late in the hiring cycle. You know, Villanova, it was the last major program to hire somebody here, or they will be when Willard goes there. But the big worry this entire time was, all right, well, Maryland's just going to be left by the wayside here. And my thought was that they would probably have to go and grab an up-and-comer, a younger coach from a smaller program, and try to, you know, hope that you're getting the next rising star, so to speak. But if you could get someone established, like Buzz Williams is, I think they'd be pretty fortunate.
And not a 72-year-old established kind of guy, mm-hmm. like we've seen with Pitino, who's a brilliant, he's already a Hall of Fame coach at St. John's. You want to get a little younger and build more long-term stability. The other names, Tony Skin, who was an assistant for Willard a couple years ago, GMU. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Dwayne Simpkins at AU, played for Gary Williams, played in 3 tournaments himself, took the Eagles to the tournament this year, too.
Well, and I think that's a great point there, Nolan, of having somebody that has kind of been through it, being seasoned. That does matter. And Maryland, I mean, you're lying to yourself if you don't feel the pressure when Maryland loses here in this state. When Maryland loses, everyone can feel it. The coaching staff hears it. And how many times have we heard that when Turgeon was here and then now with Kevin Willard? When the team isn't going well, it's about your job on the line. You got to have thick skin. And I think a guy like Buzz Williams, if it is the guy, him understanding what the pride and what the standard is for Maryland, and they haven't been able to reach that standard consistently. It's a lot to ask from an up-and-coming coach here that's trying to make a name for himself.
And you talk about the Maryland cachet and the fan interest. Look, I'm born and raised here. I just turned 60. Sports talk radio, sports fandom. Mm-hmm. It's always been, well, it was the Colts when I was a kid, Orioles, Maryland men's hoops. They're the big three. always have been, always will be. There's other things that pique our interest for sure, but these are the ones that generate the calls and get everyone either loving life or hating life.
And usually it's felt like it's been hating life
for
the last couple decades.
Well, we come back. We're going to talk some Orioles. We were loving life yesterday as Oriole fans as they broke out the whooping sticks against the Toronto Blue Jays. Rockabaco Mass at sports.com. Whip around LM 15. Buzzer beater in Chicago, breaking hearts of Laker fans. A former Terp had a big game in that one, too, for the Bulls. And Keith Kavanaugh, TerrapinTimes.com. What the hell's going on down in College Park?